turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, please. And just keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them as we go through this very short message this morning. I've got the reading on the overhead. I want us to read that together. So do keep your Bibles open for later on for reference in the Scriptures. But because we have all different kinds of translations, let's all read this together from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Thank you. So again this year, we're participating in the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And that's often known by the initials IDOP. So you might run into IDOP, and it stands for the International Day of Prayer, and that's a day of prayer for the persecuted church. I think it's the fifth year that we've been doing that together. Now, most churches will be remembering to pray for these 200 million persecuted brothers and sisters on November 4th. Since that's our communion service time, we have decided to have that IDOP prayer time this morning. So we're joining together with churches. I think it's in over 130 countries that will take a Sunday apart to pray for the persecuted church. And I think it's the least we can do in the sense that we have such a privilege to gather together so freely that we'll take this Sunday to remember the persecuted church with our other brothers and sisters in the free world. We're gathering this morning to remember and to pray for the saints in Nigeria, Vietnam, and North Korea. Those are the three countries we focused on this morning. You've got some handouts. Anybody who does not have a pamphlet handout with these countries, because you'll need them for our prayer time later on? Okay, very good. In these three countries, as well as many other countries, the saints are severely persecuted just because they want to take on the name of Christian, honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. Some of them are killed just because they possess the Word of God in their home. So we want to take some time to pray for the persecuted church. An average, listen to this, of 425 Christian believers are murdered for their faith every single day of the year. 425 believers. Today, 425 of our brothers and sisters will die an early death because they believe in Jesus Christ, they want to honor Him, and they love the Word of God. The theme of IDOP this year is Beauty for Ashes. I read that theme this week, and it reminded me of the myth of the phoenix. The phoenix is a mythical bird with red and gold plumage. And the myth is that this bird lives from 500 to 1,000 years. And at the end of its life cycle, it builds a nest, and then it sits in the nest, and then that nest spontaneously bursts into flames and totally consumes the nest and the bird and leaves just a pile of ashes. And then out of that, those ashes, a new phoenix is born. And This theme, beauty for ashes, reminded me of that myth. Isaiah 61:3, we read this, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. God promises that He's going to do something so that out of the devastation and the loss of persecution, He will bestow a crown of beauty. This crown is promised both to individual saints as well as to the church as a whole. I just want us to take a few minutes to look at this whole chapter of Isaiah 61, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I'd encourage you to take your Bible at home this afternoon and just get a cup of tea or coffee and read carefully Isaiah 61. It's a beautiful chapter of promise to the church. The first two verses of Isaiah 61 should be familiar to anyone who has read the Gospel of Luke. First two verses. At the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, you'll find it in verses 14 to 21. Jesus is at home in Nazareth, and he goes to his hometown synagogue, and there he's asked to read the scriptures, and he takes out the scroll, and he opens up the scroll, and he reads these first two verses of Isaiah. And then he sits down after reading them. Now, there were no division chapters or verse divisions during the time of Jesus, but what he read we now designate as Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And after he read, he stopped reading, and then he sat down. What's really interesting is where Jesus stopped reading. In the first two verses of Isaiah, especially in verse 2, we find the announcement of both the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. The first part of the verse says this, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's where Jesus stopped reading. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he sat down, right in the middle of what would be, for us, a verse. But he stopped reading right there. And then when he sat down, he said this, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This scripture, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus fulfilled the year of the Lord's favor in his coming to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. The verse that Jesus did not read, following on in verse 2, was this, and the day of the vengeance of our God. This is a reference to the second coming of Christ and the final wrath of God upon all those who have not followed Jesus. So Jesus said, today is my first coming, but there is also a second coming, a day of wrath, a day of vengeance, a day of the final fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Continuing on in verse 2, in the rest of Isaiah chapter 61, we find the resulting blessing of both the first and second coming of Christ. The comfort of all who mourn and grieve, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and I'm just summing up the rest of Isaiah chapter 61, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. There is spiritual maturity mentioned there, rebuilding and fruitfulness of every kind. There is the promised reward from the Lord who loves justice and who is faithful to his covenant. There is recognition of the people of God by the whole world. There is delight in God's salvation and righteousness. The chapter concludes with the promise that the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Now, at this present time, the church is living between that first coming and the second coming of Christ. The church is living in the new covenant promises and in God's salvation and righteousness in Jesus Christ. But the church has not yet come into the fullness of the kingdom of God. For now, the true church is despised, mocked, rejected, persecuted, and killed. There is suffering, pain, abuse, injustice, conflict, confiscation and destruction of property, rape, wounds, loss of family members, slander, misery, imprisonment, starvation, sickness, death, and on we go. The church is receiving ashes from a God-hating, Bible-hating world, just as Jesus said it would. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. We see that happening, especially in the third world countries. But persecution and death is not the end of the story. God will bestow on his people and on the church a crown of beauty for their ashes. For now, as believers, as God's people, we go on and encourage and support and lift up one another in the midst of our struggles as we look to the second coming of Christ, when God will make all things right in us and in the world in the kingdom of God. For now, we provide material help to families whose fathers and husbands are in prisons. We join with persecuted Christians through letter writing and asking our governments to intervene in human rights violations. And this morning, we give ourselves to prayer for our persecuted brothers and sisters. We give ourselves to worship to our God, who will fulfill all his promises to his people and to his church. One day, God will bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Glory to God.